There's a particular maker right now who makes Santa-pee prosthetics, and he's based in the States, and he did it because he was trying to find one for himself, and lo and behold, they all sucked. And so he got into business and he makes these really beautiful prosthetics. But because he's hand-making them in the States, they're also not very affordable. And so I think that there's all these complicated push-pull experiences between capitalism and these universes in which we occupy. Hi, my name is Noah Kluza, and I am part of running two businesses. One is Gender Gear, and one is Come As You Are. My role specifically is around product fulfillment, product sourcing, deep nerd that loves to answer your questions on the email and on the phone, and otherwise just a smiling soul.
This is Vanguard by Shopify Studios. It's a podcast about how people from unexplored subcultures and unexpected communities make money today. I'm your host, Anshuman Idemseti. Noah is part of a worker-owned collective, or co-op, that began in 1997, the Come As You Are, or Kaya, collective. The workers collectively own every part of the business.
It was very much an intention to complicate capitalism, complicate gender narratives, and complicate the sex-positive feminism that was very prolific at the time.
And their most recent venture is Gender Gear.
Gender Gear is an online business that we developed for the purposes of being able to support trans and gender-variant folks if and when they're seeking gender-confirming products. So when we talk about gender-confirming products, what we mean is for folks that are looking for products that really help align their bodies or align the way that they're seen, there are certain things that we can sell and certain things that we can offer that may be supportive to those people. We specifically sell a number of chest binders, gaffs, dilators, prosthetics, breast forms. We're very much about just being able to offer a toolbox full of tools and you can take from it what you want or need.
And Gender Gear's mission is to make it easier for people to find those tools. Noah learned this the hard way, back when he was working at the collective's first business, Come As You Are, a store in downtown Toronto that sold a variety of, well, sex products.
You know, someone had come into the store and they had had an uncomfortable experience with all the sex things in the store. If memory serves, I think it was someone that was young. And with our store, we didn't card people at the door. Our unofficial policy and our official policy was if you could get through the store without laughing, then you're welcome to stay.
And they were looking for a specific gender-confirming product.
And it was always a bit uncomfortable for us offering these products because they were not in alignment with our mandate as a sex store, but they're very critical products that are important to carry. And that's why we did that. So while folks of all ages were welcome in the store, it still didn't change the fact that oftentimes age and accessing gender products became a difficult situation.
It was too much for that shopper. They were overwhelmed looking for what they needed in a store that also stocked sex products. So they left.
And we just said, you know what? We can do better than this. And that afternoon started building the idea of what a website would look like that's just specifically supported our goals around offering products to trans and gender variant folk.
But it would take time for the collective to actualize their vision for Gender Gear. Today on the last episode of Vanguard, Season 1, how do you adapt your business to the challenges of an ever-changing social landscape, especially when you offer products and services the mainstream considers taboo? A common misconception is that gender-confirming products are sex toys, or adjacent to sex toys, that they're somehow seedy, taboo. If it has something to do with genitals, it has to be about sex. According to Noah, that couldn't be further from the truth.
It helps with safety. It supports passing. It might support someone access, you know, a job or access housing and other, you know, pretty critical resources that sometimes trans and gender variant folks have a hard time accessing. There is selection out there for trans and gender variant folks, but so often it just is not really meeting our needs and our expectations. Either they're poorly made, you know, fabric is ripping, the things are disintegrating, the mechanics are breaking on products, things like that. Or they're horribly transphobic and otherwise engaging in a lot of phobic, classist, racist, ableist language in their packaging.
Another misconception? That these products are vaguely medical.
We don't believe in a particularly medicalized idea of gender. The medical industry can do some really beautiful things, but it can also be a particularly oppressive industry as well. But we have no horse in your race, you know? We don't have any goal around specifically dictating what you compress or don't compress, you know, what you enhance or don't enhance, because these are ideas based off of a binary model of gender that we think is tiresome and limiting. Our intention is very much to offer products that if they serve you, they serve you, and if they don't, they don't.
Their solution is to be as judgment-free and value-neutral as possible. By presenting their products this way, they remove a lot of the baggage around how we as a culture approach the topic of gender. Again, that pervasive sense of taboo. And that shifts the focus from what their products are to what they do.
One notable product that we offer is our products called binders. The idea behind a chest binder or compression vest is that it is a product that folks can wear on their bodies like an undershirt, and it will compress any unwanted chest tissue against the torso. So this is really great for flattening lines either in the chest area or sometimes flattening lines in the hip area as well. We carry various prosthetics and STPs. A prosthetic is usually also called a packer, and it is designed to be sort of a penis genital-like package that folks can put into their shorts. STPs are products that are designed where they can also actually offer the opportunity to urinate at the same time using it. So this is really great for folks that are looking for products for passing and safety concerns. We also carry products called dilators. Dilators are designed for folks that have had vaginal surgeries. The dilators that we carry, we help design. They're available in a graduated set of sizes. They're designed by a really lovely small company here in Ontario. And they, again, support just a variety of folks with a variety of vaginal goals around care, around pain, around surgeries. The varieties of ways in which products like dilators get used are pretty endless.
This is cool. A significant number of GenderGear's customers are the family members of trans and gender variant people. Grandmothers, mothers, trusted aunts, and in certain cases, entire institutions.
So children's aid, schools, hospitals, there's a variety of different service providers that wanted to be able to provide gender-based support to their clients or to their families or to their communities. And a business like Come As You Are was not the solution because oftentimes our website wasn't available because of firewall settings on institutional servers and things like that.
When the collective was designing GenderGear's website, they knew that their audience came from all sorts of backgrounds. Whatever they built had to respect that.
This is an opportunity for you to lean into things that make you curious. And this is an opportunity for you to realize that you can access these resources if you want, that we will ship things discreetly and that we will respect your privacy and we will answer your questions quickly and succinctly.
When you visit GenderGear today, what you see is a clean and very safe-for-work website. In fact, the focus is on education, offering comprehensive answers to, say, the benefits of a silicone packer versus one made out of cyberskin. According to Noah, it's a response to a growing trend in their space, expert culture.
Just as much as we're not really believers in the medical system, we're not necessarily believers in the academic system either. I'm a big nerd about binders, and I've talked about binders a lot, and so I can answer all the questions you have about which ones roll up, which ones, you know, will fit in certain ways on certain bodies, why you might want to choose a white one over a black one, how the sizing tends to work out. Like, these are things that I can talk about. But I can't educate you about you, right? Like, you know your body best, and you know your gender best, and you know your experiences best.
To understand the gender gear of today, we have to look backward.
I was raised in southwestern Ontario on a small farm. And I was living with my family in a trailer in a pasture next to the pig barns. And it was this very isolating experience. And I moved off to school when I was 17. My interest in sex culture that had sort of sprung up a bit when I was in high school was very much shifting more and more into being, oh, maybe I want to do something more professionally with sex. Come As You Are was hiring. And I'd obviously heard of Come As You Are and thought that they were the bee's knees because, oh my goodness, it's this, you know, anti-capitalist collective that, you know, just really knocks it out of the park. I sent in an application and 120 other people also sent in an application and I actually got the job.
Well before Gender Gear, the collective was running Come As You Are, a store that sold a variety of sex products. They also had an online store catering to customers outside of Toronto.
And very much the shop was intended to be a space that spoke to the sex-positive feminist dream that we were seeing manifest through these small indie spaces that were popping up across Canada and the USA in the 90s.
Come As You Are was located in the Toronto neighborhood of Queen West. Today, it's one of the city's most popular neighborhoods.
We watched Queen Street really shift and change around us. A lot of development, just a very powerful shift between Toronto of the 90s and Toronto then of 2010.
But when they first opened their doors back in 1997, Queen West was just another street.
At the time, it wasn't a particularly developed part of Queen West, and it opened in a pretty reasonable size, not too big, not too small, very Goldilocks kind of retail space. The beauty of that is that our rent was affordable. And by affordable, I still mean like it wasn't exactly, I wouldn't say it was really cheap, but we were able to do our own repairs for the most part. And that meant that we weren't reminding the landlords we existed. And therefore, we were able to keep doing what we were doing. Vice and Peaches lived upstairs. We sometimes got their mail. And that was really exciting because then we could say, hey, Vice, do we have your mail if you want to come pick it up? So that was a thing. But as with all good things, Spice and Peaches moved on and don't live in broken down Queen West apartments anymore. And we also had to move along as well.
In 2012, the collective was forced to move. Come As You Are was simply priced out of their neighborhood. So they found a new location, three blocks away, on a nearby street called Spadina.
So we moved to this new space. It really felt like a whole new universe.
Complete with its own set of challenges.
We very much, 2-3 years into the move, were almost at the point of bankruptcy. We're really struggling with our finances.
Rent was skyrocketing, and there was little the collective could do to offset the costs. They would never compromise on the prices of their products or the services they offered to stay afloat.
It's really difficult as an anti-capitalist worker-owned cooperative to navigate the rocky terrain of trying to support trans and gender variant folks who don't tend to have access to economic resources by selling things to them.
The truth is, if you're a trans or gender variant person, the world is already too expensive for you.
It is expensive to access these resources. It's expensive because you aren't necessarily getting the work that you're entitled to, because you're not necessarily getting the housing that you're entitled to, because you're not necessarily getting the support of your friends and your family and your larger community.
And the collective was grappling with their own version of that truth in the form of gentrification.
another 2-3 years later, our rent was unexpectedly raised. And we were facing, very much like so many of our neighbors had faced, this question of like, well, my goodness, you know, we already are struggling to make ends meet. And suddenly it's going to cost us thousands of more dollars a month to continue to struggle to make ends meet.
By 2016, Toronto was getting a lot of attention from outside investment, looking to gain a foothold in the city. That meant the price of retail space was soaring again.
And so it meant that when we were hunting for new spaces, the real estate wasn't there. And the real estate that was there, we were just being outbid on over and over and over again.
The collective wasn't able to adapt to this reality with a brick-and-mortar store. They quietly put up a sign on the storefront window of Come As You Are, announcing their last day of business, August 28, 2016.
It was a very beautiful experience, and also an experience that needed to end when it ended.
Noah has seen the effects of gentrification time and time again.
A lot of the independent sex stores in the city have closed. Other indie businesses of various stripes, we're not seeing them being able to prosper in the model that exists right now. So we know that it wasn't just a Queen Street model, or wasn't just something that we succumbed to, that this is part of a larger cultural trend.
Often you'll hear people claim that queer businesses are too risky. They fail because of some flaw in the queer market. Or that the market was just too seedy. Again, taboo. But many of these businesses fail because they couldn't adapt fast enough to factors outside of their control.
It's a pretty universal fact that people who are marginalized don't tend to have access to the same economic resources as those who aren't, right? And so when you're a queer person looking to open a business, it means that as real estate changes, as trends change, as political climates change, the likelihood that you will have the capital and the overhead to be able to like move and flow with that, to be able to figure out what the next thing is or how to be responsible to the here and the now, the likelihood is not as great that you will be able to have the resources to do that. And so that means that businesses that are looking to serve marginalized communities of many types are going to be the first to disappear.
But the death of their brick-and-mortar store wasn't the end of the collective. Remember, Come As You Are was already online and doing business. In many cases, the websites supported the collective through their toughest moments. And just before they closed their doors, the collective was already dreaming up what would become Gender Gear.
The beautiful thing that I'd say about the possibilities for business these days is we don't have the same expectation for sort of institutional ideas of bricks and mortar economic relationships. It's reasonable now to have a pop-up shop. It's reasonable now to have, you know, just a spot in a larger store that you share with other indie retailers. The possibilities for flexibility and mobility are sort of the flip side of that death of queer business.
Today, Gender Gear is doing better than ever. The collective's business model is working.
I think that the future is much brighter than when we had a storefront that was costing us, you know, tens and tens of thousands of dollars between staffing and rent and samples and all these things to run all the time.
And they can now focus their efforts on scaling their business and forging new relationships with potential suppliers.
For us, we would love to tackle being able to convince more manufacturers to sell to us. A lot of people who manufacture goods for trans and gender variant folks, or goods that can be used by trans and gender variant folks, don't tend to be wholesalers. They tend to be folks that sell direct to consumer. One of our big goals is to focus on trying to see if we can offer access to some of those products.
Noah is quick to point out that there were a lot of benefits to having a physical retail space. Face-to-face interaction, for one. The collective is trying to figure out how to replicate some of that.
We would love to be able to create greater mobility for us to be able to do more gender products 101 chats, have more opportunities for families and allies and other sort of associated humans in the lives of trans and gender variant folks be able to come to a physical space and talk to a person about these products and about some questions or concerns that they may have about products like these, because it's something that we felt was really valuable when we had a storefront, and it was the work that we most enjoyed doing in the storefront.
The possibilities are endless. What would Gender Gear look like on YouTube?
Even if we were running workshops in major city centers or even non-major city centers, to be able to ensure that no matter where you are, that YouTube is hopefully nearby and that there's some helpful stuff on there.
And Noah's seen a new kind of energy in the queer business space.
We do see mobility, and we do see collaboration, and we do see grassroots organizing in some ways that do feel very inspiring and invigorating, at least from my vantage point.
It has the same feel of the feminist and sex-positive optimism of the 90s, back when people were making all kinds of strange and wonderful products in their home.
And it was this really beautiful indie scrappy DIY approach that felt very, I feel very sad that I didn't get to bear witness more to in the 90s, but was very much the way that things were done. There's these little pockets of folks that are just doing their thing, like making STPs in their kitchen sinks, weird little culty compounds making harnesses in Utah, right? Like whatever the thing is, where there's just these interesting little pockets that are always happening. And sometimes they're all that's happening. And sometimes there's a billowing and an infusion of capitalism and money that disrupts it. But then at the end of the day, like that indie DIY approach is always going to be there, because it's always very much from the vantage point of people who have care and people who have love and curiosity and are interested in these things because they spark joy.
Noah Kluza is a worker owner of Gender Gear. This episode was produced by Michelle Macklem, Katie Jensen, Rachel Rath, Emma Feddersen, and me, Anshuman Idhamsetti. Our score was composed by Jim Guthrie. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks. And this is the last episode of Season 1 of Vanguard by Shopify Studios. I'd like to thank you for listening. Keep an ear out for Season 2. Bye.